The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tim Kalishaw, Mina Kimes, L. Duncan, great to have you here. The list for greatest Dame of all time, Lillard, closing in on Dench, has eye on Mirren. Look at this chart Kirk Goldsberry put out. Could this be true? It is true. Damian Lillard is the cosmos. So how we got here? The biggest upset day in NBA history, Milwaukee down to Orlando, LA to Portland. And what it means is where we start. Start with Portland 100, LA 93, a game Lakers fans waited 7 years for. LeBron, his first as a Laker, a monster all-time triple-double. But for the game, clank for Los Angeles. Tim Kalishaw, around the horn to you. Was this just a terrible, horrible, no-good shooting day or something more?
I think it's something more. I certainly think it's something the Lakers can recover from. I'm not going to follow my man Chuck and sweep him out the door right now in four games. But I do think they have some significant problems in that, you know, the whole thing with LeBron being the point guard with no Rondo, with no Avery Bradley, I think that raises some issues. And it has him trying to distribute the ball to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope instead of score it himself. And their big advantage they have with rebounding, with size, and they started McGee, and they're killing them on the boards, but it's not doing them any good because they don't have enough offense. And they are going to have to find some offense to score 93 points against Portland, a team that hadn't given up fewer than 100 since January. Woo! That was remarkably bad.
Is this a fatal flaw for this Lakers team, Tim?
I think it's a fatal flaw before they get to the NBA final. I don't think that it will destroy them in the first round.
Okay, the non-destroying fatal flaw. I'm with you. All right, Mina Kimes, we'll bring you in here. What did you see last night? Bad performance or something more?
I saw an offense that was atrocious against, as Tim pointed out, a defense that before this point in Portland had been easier to penetrate than an actual bubble. Okay, so that was alarming. And by the way, if you can't get over Portland, good luck against the Clippers defense, right? But it's also an offense that's been struggling ever since this team got to Orlando. Okay, in the seeding games, they finished 22nd out of 22 teams in three-point percentage. Only the Wizards were worse in total offense in terms of points per possessions. And we told ourselves, well, it's the Lakers. They're not really trying. They're locked in number one. LeBron's going to turn it on once the playoffs actually begin. But even if LeBron turns it on, what happens if no one else does? I look across this roster, and outside of Davis, I don't see solutions for the problems they have.
Right. So let's hunker down here, L. Duncan, on do the Lakers need to change the rotation? Do they need to change the game plan? What can they do?
Well, that's the point. Change the rotation to what? They're missing wide open shots, Tony. Like, I'm gonna be honest with you. I sort of thought that how they were playing in seeding games was an aberration, and we've seen that it is not, because this is who the Lakers are. Like, you know, from the great Denny Green, like, they are kind of who we thought they were. They are missing more wide open shots than any team in the bubble. You mentioned the 3-point percentages, which have been below league average the entire year, but then 15% yesterday? I mean, that was historically bad. On top of that, Avery Bradley's not coming back, and I think this idea that they were going to get more from their backcourt, and particularly with Rondo going down, is just not the case. KCP and Danny Green have got to step up and do more. Who are they turning to? That's the problem. Now, you could bright side this thing and say absolutely nothing was working for them yesterday. Nothing, and they still only lost by 7 points. But this is a real issue, because if you can't make long-distance shots, you at least have to be able to make your jumpers, and they didn't do that either. 20% yesterday. It's trash.
Well, something was working, L. I mean, it was the first 2015-15 triple-double in playoffs history that LeBron had. But you say they are who we thought they were. All I heard was, well, you know, when this tournament comes around in the bubble, this is the team that could win the finals because they have the two best players on the floor at all times.
But I hesitate to say that because you guys didn't even mention Damian Lillard. What are we doing here? A mute for everybody. Can I quote Max Kellerman on Around the Horn? Can I do that? Let me quote Max Kellerman today on First Take. Damian Lillard is like Steph Curry, but a Steph Curry who gets better in the biggest moments. Anybody want to take that bait? Mina Kime? You?
Slander. My goodness. I mean, here's what I'll say. Go back and look at the finals where Iggy won MVP. Ask yourself, why was he so open? Because Steph Curry was getting doubled. Sometimes statistics don't tell the whole story.
Okay. That's not about Damian Lillard, though. Can you speak on Damian Lillard, Tim Kalishaw, and then on Max Kellerman, please?
Yeah, we'll leave Curry and his five straight NBA finals out of it for a minute. I mean, Lillard has been, you know, ridiculous and from distance, but it's like the Lakers haven't been watching these games. When he comes around a screen, even if he's 35 feet from the basket, if you're going to leave him open at the top of the key, he's going to take that shot, and there's a good chance it's going in. You've got to guard him two steps beyond midcourt. That's the kind of range he has developed, and he gets his shot off quicker now than he used to. That's the one way he might remind me a little bit of Curry. I think he's gotten much faster, even with a man in his face getting it off. And he didn't have to play one of those spectacular games last night. He was very good. He hit big shots, but he didn't have to score 50 or 60 like he did in the last 2 weeks.
Both one seeds going down to the eighth seed in the first round of the NBA playoffs. That's happened just one other time. This is the second time that happened to start the playoffs. So that's what we're dealing with here. And my question is right now, Mina, who's got bigger problems, the Lakers or the Bucks?
I think it's the Lakers. I don't think either team is going to go down in the first round. And I think the Bucks, with no disrespect to the Magic, what they're doing is amazing. Vucevic is a total star, but they are worse than Portland. But the way that Milwaukee struggled, not just allowing a ton of threes, which is a problem that they've had, or actually it's deliberate, right? It's like the way they play defense, but struggling on the inside in the paint, that's not going to happen again with Giannis. And yes, like the Lakers, their defense has been worse in the seeding round in Orlando than it was in the regular season, but I think they're more likely to bounce back because of the talent they have.
L. Duncan, who's got bigger problems right now, the Bucks or the Lakers?
100% the Lakers, because the Magic are good for this, right? The Magic love to sort of make us question whether we are as in love with our one seeds as we thought. They did it last year with the Raptors after game one, right? We were like, oh no, new team, and they're still cursed, and they still choke, and we all know what happened after that. I think Steve Clifford had a fantastic game plan for the Bucks. They love to run, and if they don't run, they don't win, and their transition points were held at a low. Nobody, I don't think anybody, despite Mina saying he's a superstar, thought that Nikola Vucevic was going to play unconscious and outside of himself. So I think the Lakers have real issues because, again, they're just not making any shots.
Seeing how Milwaukee played their last 2 weeks of that first restart in the bubble, seeing how the Lakers did, who's got bigger problems, Kalisha?
I'm going to make it unanimous and say it's the Lakers because of the players they're missing that we talked about and because they're playing, I think, a better team. But Milwaukee has a weird issue for a team that's great and for a team that wins an absurd amount of its games. Their three-point defense tends to be terrible. And if you get into a series with a hot team, and Orlando was certainly that yesterday, if you're going to let them maintain that, they're going to make this series last a lot longer than it should. I still think Milwaukee's got too much power for them, and they'll win it. But it is surprising to see them stumble like that.
We'll move on. Now to the video of Ujiri and the security guard. This was from last year's finals. You remember all this. This was right as the Raptors were about to celebrate on the floor. Ujiri was going to join his team. You remember what the security guard alleged. Alan Strickland, a sheriff deputy, said in his initial suit, a shock of injury to his nervous system. He said permanent disability. Ujiri had no credential, he said. And he said Ujiri approached with, quote, a violent disposition and a, quote, evil motive amounting to malice. This was all said by Strickland in court. What you're seeing is what happened. L. Duncan, what happened?
What happened, Tony, is what always happens when black people do not show unyielding and ridiculous amounts of restraint in the face of excessive force and harassment. He got pushed. Masai Ujiri got pushed two times before he finally retaliated and pushed back. And because he pushed back, he was painted by the Alameda Sheriff's Department and by that sergeant as violent, aggressive, you know, evil. This is just another case of a black person being put in their place by a power construct that's able to do that because for the most part, they are free of consequence. But more than anything, I hope this is an example to the crowd that seems to think that if you're successful and you've got privilege, you somehow get a free pass from racism. That's not the case because as we just saw, it doesn't matter how expensive your suit is. It does not matter the cachet that comes along with your title. It does not matter what credential you have around your neck. At the end of the day, too many, you are just another black man having to explain why you are where you are.
Thank you for saying that, Elle. It doesn't even matter what the moment is, the greatest moment of his professional career. This is, he's going on the court to celebrate an NBA championship. We'll bring in Mina Kimes here on the video being released.
It is infuriating. It's not just heartbreaking, it's infuriating because of what you described at the beginning, which is not just that this happened to Masai Ujiri in what should have been, you know, a joyful moment, but because of what happened next, which is the officer in question accusing him of initiating it, of assaulting him, the fact that he lied. I mean, that he lied. Just imagine the level of audacity that takes, the level of impunity he thought he had to make that sort of an allegation, and then imagine how often it happens all the time around this country to people who are not given the benefit of the doubt with evidence like this that never surfaces. This is why people have been protesting all summer. And while it is deeply upsetting that it happened to Masai Ujiri, I'm glad that we're able to see what really happened so it can be a teaching moment.
And Tim Kalisha?
Yeah, let me explain how I look at it and something Elle Duncan just said that reminds me how wrong I was for years on a certain aspect of things, and a lot of people are. I thought a lot of times, not all the time, but when race was brought up, I tended to think you're really talking about wealth and power. You're not talking about skin color. And I think we can all cite examples where that is true, and wealth and power is what matters. But there's a lot of times it doesn't. As has been said, this is the president of the team at the height of his career. He's winning a title. He's dressed in a far nicer suit than I will ever own. And yet, because of his skin color, and he's pulling out his credential. And a man says, basically, no, you don't belong here. And he shoves him twice. Like, this guy can't possibly be connected to these teams. And to see that, it does remind all of us that sometimes it is purely about race and how awful that is in 2020.
I appreciate you being honest and saying that, Tim Kalishaw. I mean, one other thing here. Body camera was on the security guard, the deputy sheriff, the sheriff's deputy, I should say. He knew this. He had to have known this. This was something the entire system knew. The apparatus continued to move forward with his story for the last year, and only because it has been released now by Ujiri's team in their countersuit do we get to see it. That is yet another example of how far he said, she said, can continue to go even with proof existing. It's unbelievable to me. We're taking a break right here. Coming up, we'll get to buy or sell. Is Bill Belichick considering a QB two-headed monster, Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham, in 2 minutes?
Around the Horn is brought to you by Gatorade. For athletes who make the days count, nothing beats Gatorade.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Yeah, it might. I would always say I'll do what I think is best for the team. What gives us the best chance to win. So, whatever that is, I would certainly consider that. Let's run unbalanced line or double unbalanced line or, 23 personnel or, whatever it is. If it helps us win, then, I would consider
all right.
Anything.
Some are hearing that as Bill Belichick open to platooning Cam Newton and Jarrett Stidham. Mina Kimes, buy or sell?
I am buying it, not because of what he said, and I'm going to shock you, but Bill Belichick, not always the most straightforward person, but because
yes,
Cam Newton
exactly.
has only been with the team for a little over a month, and what we're hearing from camp is that it does look like a competition. And by the way, having a platoon could give them an edge early in the season when defenses don't know what to prepare for.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're putting some credence into this. L. Duncan, how about you? Buy or sell Belichick?
Stop it. Sell, sell, sell. I mean, we know platooning quarterback doesn't work. Let me ask you this, Mina. Who's going to be the Taysom Hill in this situation, and who's going to be the Drew Brees between Jarrett Stidham and a former league MVP? Who's going to be Tim Tebow, and who's going to be Kyle Orton in this situation? Because if you think Cam Newton is going to be okay with being a zone read guy who comes in for 18 snaps a game or whatever and runs up the middle, you're lying to yourself. It's not happening.
Tim Kalishaw.
Tony, some of our younger viewers may not remember the 1971 Cowboys where Tom Landry actually, for a game, platooned Roger Staubach and Craig Morton in Chicago, play after play, going back and forth. They lost to the Bears. He went to Staubach the next week. They won the Super Bowl. It's probably not a good idea in the NFL.
Okay. I guess you're selling. We'll move on. Buy or sell two. Fernando Tatis Jr. Oh, Timmy, what have your Rangers wrought?
Oh, my God.
The day after the Grand Slam, this is what he does. He steals third in a 6-0 game. How much do you love this? Shape-shifting slide. Todd Frazier thought he had him, but no review. Or the review was not conclusive, I should say. Texas posted after the game with no comments. So, not today trolls. So that's how they thought of it. Tim, who's trolling who here? Is Tatis in the right, or are your Rangers?
I think you're trolling the Rangers. This is the most the Rangers have made this show since the 2011 World Series, back when Kinsler was hitting home runs. Actually, there's nothing wrong with stealing when it's 6-0. It was 6-4 at the end of the inning. It doesn't make a lot of sense, though, to steal third with two outs. It's not that it's an unwritten rule. It's just that there's not a lot to be gained. That's not a smart play.
How dare you put that on me, Tim? No, the Rangers, they did it to themselves. That's what really hurts. Mina Kimes, how about you?
Well, here's what's to be gained for Tatis. He's tied for the lead in stolen bases. So he's in a competition. He leads baseball in just about every statistical category, and he's 21. When I was 21, Tim Kalishaw was like 50 or something. Like, that's amazing.
Whoa. When you were 21, Tim Kalishaw was leading around the horn in many, many categories. L. Duncan, how about you?
Right, reminder how many wins you have, Tim. The disrespect of our elders, Mina. No, to Mina's point, it did mean something in the race for stolen bases. Yesterday alone, Fernando Tatis had two of the hardest thrown balls in baseball, and he had two of the quickest exit velos off the bat as well. This kid's ridiculous, and all we're doing is talking about unwritten rules in baseball. If it's so important, write it down. Shut up.
Well, you know what happens when you do write it down. It becomes clear to everybody how foolish it was to begin with. That's what I read a Jeff Passan wrote yesterday. I thought he nailed that. We'll move on. Buy or sell three. Houston, 123. OKC, 108. Without Westbrook, Harden looked... Well, he exactly like how he always looked. I mean, he's always going to look like he looks. 37-11. He said, as crazy as it sounds, we can be way better. Buy or sell, Mina?
I'm kind of buying it because while Jeff Green is not going to go plus 28 every game in the playoffs, they get Westbrook back. And have you seen how good they've been on defense? It's a small world.
Tim Kalishaw, buy or sell, the Rockets could be better than they are.
I'm going to buy that. I think Houston is the surprise team of the bubble of the teams that's left. The Phoenix Suns were the surprise team. They're not allowed to play anymore. But I think with Westbrook, yeah, on defense they'll be better. They're a team to watch.
L. Duncan?
Oh, sell. You had vintage Eric Gordon, right? You got seven dudes to hit from three-point range, and you got big contributions off your bench from Jeff Green and Big McLemore. How much better do you want them to be? Stop.
Well, they are going to get Russell Westbrook back. Wouldn't that mean they're better? Wouldn't that make them more dangerous getting Westbrook back, L. Duncan?
It makes them better on the boards, right? They were out-rebounded by OKC, so there you go. Maybe they'll get better at crashing the boards when Russell Westbrook
comes. No, it just makes them better. Russell Westbrook is pretty good at basketball is all I'm saying here, the rascally Russell Westbrook. All right, L. Duncan. Ooh, a first elimination for L. That doesn't happen often.
Huh.
That's it. We'll have Mina Kimes, Tim Kalishaw. Showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
On the Horn is brought to you by Miralax. It works with the water in your body to unblock your system naturally.
Okay, yes. Nothing sums up Around the Horn better than that. We talked Tatis earlier. Staying on the Padres, Manny Machado made a play last night you've never seen before in the scorecard. F5, fly out third baseman. But with his shift and his range, he caught the ball over the shoulder at the right field foul pole wall. What's the ruling here, Tim?
Does it really matter how we score? Do the Padres do anything wrong when they play the Rangers? I mean, they look like the all-world National League.
All right. Take your medicine, Tim. Go ahead, Mina.
Yeah, I'll score it as a WTF 5, because that is the only cool thing that's ever come out of the shift. I'll score it.
Okay, close it down. 2-3-point answer. That's there cool. You go.
That's cool.
Showdown 2. Tim, you need to make up ground here. Cowboys is what, for 3 weeks, Cowboys receivers have been saying we're going to have 3,000-yard receivers. Why is this their ambition? I don't know. It's happened 5 times in NFL history. Realistic, important ambition for CeeDee Lamb, who said it yesterday, to have Tim?
You know, I think Lamb can do it. I think if they really want to make it happen, if they're going to make sure everybody gets their 62.5 yards every week, it could happen, but it's really unnecessary.
Mina Kimes?
Yeah, I totally think it could happen. That offense is incredible. Michael Gallup, who's the second receiver, is a quiet superstar, and Mike McCarthy loves 11 personnel. I could definitely see them being the sixth team.
Okay. My question is, don't they have to give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott as well?
At some point in time.
It wouldn't just be 3,000 receivers. He has to get 1,000-yard running back, right, to make him happy. Doesn't matter. Mina Kimes, shutout in showdown. Tatis to Tim's Texas Rangers. Go ahead, Mina.
No more Rangers slander. I want to talk about something very unusual that's happening in both the bubble and the wobble, which is the home teams have been dominant. We've heard about it happening in the NBA. Read a story this morning from our Howard Megdahl about how in the WNBA, the wobble, home teams are winning 62% of the games, more than they normally do. Best part is nobody really knows why it's happening. But even though home teams have had a rough couple of days with these upsets, I think they're going to bounce back for mysterious reasons.
Well, we're all home teams right now. Mina Kimes, win number 43,
Tony,
and that's how
Tony,
we end
Tony, Tony,
today's
real quick,
show.
I know now why my Rockets take hit close to home to you, because this Rocket hit very close to home base for you.
Oh, I knew you guys were going to do this. Come
Failure
on.
To launch. No,
look at Enzo. Francesca, what are you doing to Detroit?
Oh, dear. Hey,